Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Here we go, the 2012 NBA Draft. It is less than 1 week away, and there are a number of players that stock just continues to rise and look as if they can contribute right away and be those immediate difference makers. This weekend, we are going to preview and evaluate the strengths and weaknesses of some of the players that, you know, we've been keeping our eye on and scouting. And here to help us out, we always love inviting him back, Bill Ingram, the executive NBA editor with Hoops World. And I know, Bill, this is a very busy time of year for you, right?
Well, it is. You know, the playoffs are wrapping up and the draft is on the way, and then summer league and free agency. I mean, the season's kind of a nice break, actually, from the off season. People always say, oh, it's your off season. I can't wait for the season to start, so I can just relax a little bit.
Well, you know, and it's just hard to believe that the month of June is quickly coming to a close. And as I said, you know, the NBA draft, it's just around the corner. So here we are, the New Orleans Hornets. They have the first pick after winning the lottery. And as I understand, the word I'm getting is, you know, Kentucky power forward Anthony Davis, he is leading the way, and he expects to make New Orleans his home. Is that what you're hearing, too?
Well, I think if I'm not a betting man, but if I were, I would bet on that, because I have not heard anything from anyone that believes anybody but Anthony Davis is the top pick in the draft. Though I myself am very high on Thomas Robinson, who's going to be the number two pick in the draft. But Davis is the game changing power forward, the next sort of Kevin Garnett type player who's going to be a dynamic power forward that leads us into the next era of great front court players. So this is one of those drafts where you have a surefire number one, and I'm excited to see what he's going to do in New Orleans.
Well, he brings a lot to the table, obviously, as you had just talked about, the size. He's very athletic, a great defensive player. But you and I were chatting a little bit earlier. He, as I understand, a very humble young man and is committed to improving his game. And you have to appreciate that, especially if you're a head coach.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially in an era where Kevin Durant is the leading scorer and, one of the best players in the NBA, if not the best. And he's in the same mold. Kevin is very humble, very coachable. You know, Scott Brooks, he tells Scott Brooks, I want you to treat me like I'm a rookie just because I'm on this television ad and I'm this leading scorer, blah, 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 MVP, blah, blah, blah. None of that matters. I'm a player on your team and I need to get better just like everybody else. And when you have a star player like that, it's pretty hard to go wrong.
Well, and I'm curious, how big of an impact do you think Anthony Davis could have in his rookie season? I mean, could he totally change and really make a huge impact with this team?
Well, the Hornets are a team that has nowhere to go but up. They were in the wake of the Chris Paul trade, which was actually a nice trade. They got Eric Gordon, but then Eric Gordon was hurt most of the season, and Mecca Okafor was out, and Chris Kaman was hurt, and it really became the story. It became basically a D-League team. They were looking at young players and trying to figure out what they had going forward and who they wanted to keep and who they wanted to move, and new ownership and new GM, new head coach, all the things that came into play. It was very much you talk about rebuilding. This was year one. This was the very ground level basic rebuilding. And so they have a lot of areas that they need to improve in. They have a lot of cap space to do it. But Anthony Davis, I mean, the key to rebuilding, you have to have a superstar player to be the cornerstone where you say, okay, we know we're going to have this guy for 15 years. Now let's begin to look at who the next guy is. Having that first piece, there are a lot of teams that are rebuilding. Hey, the Houston Rockets are an example. Teams that are rebuilding that don't have that first piece have a lot of other nice pieces. But having that one guy that you know, or that you're at least very confident, is going to be a force in the NBA for years to come, that is the most important first step in rebuilding a franchise.
We are talking about the 2012 NBA draft. It is less than 1 week away. So many exciting possibilities. And we're talking to our good friend Bill Ingram, the executive NBA editor with Hoops World. So we're talking hypotheticals right now, but with the Hornets, I mean, what do they do? Do they build around an Anthony Davis? And obviously, as you had just mentioned, they've got Eric Gordon.
Yeah, well, that's the perfect one-two punch. And it does. At first it was sounding like Eric Gordon was not going to stay long-term, but now we're hearing that Dell Demps, the GM of the Hornets, and their new ownership team, and it's starting to sound like Eric Gordon is being won over by the vision. So if that is the case, if you are entering July free agency with Anthony Davis already drafted and in place, and Eric Gordon agreeing to re-sign, wow, there's that 1-2 punch. Now it becomes about finding those complementary guys to put around them and having some money to do it. I think, hey, if you give me a chance to start a team with the top pick in the draft who's projected to be a superstar and a guy who is one of the best young up-and-coming shooting guards in the league, it's a pretty nice way to start.
You bet. Well, certainly there has been a lot of conjecture in regards to who is going to be the second overall pick in the draft. And that, of course, the team is the Charlotte Bobcats. And I would just love to get your take. Who should they pick as number two?
If it's me, I'm going Thomas Robinson. There's not even a discussion. Because Thomas Robinson, as much as some of the other guys in the class, there are question marks. You know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, is he a two? Is he a three? He plays like a three, but he's the size of a two. Is Beal really going to be an impact shooting guard? I mean, he's the best in the class, but is, you know, Andre Drummond? You go down the list, Jared Sullinger with the redshirt issue, or now, you know, how healthy is he really? Is this a Greg Oden pick waiting to happen? Lots of questions down the line. But number two, when you sit down, as these teams have done now, and as I did in Chicago at the draft combine a week or two ago, when you sit down and talk to each one of these guys, one of the guys who jumps out at you immediately is Thomas Robinson, because he's a beast, first of all. I mean, the guy, he's a great player. You know that going in. But his mental approach, he believes he is the best player in this draft, and he'll tell you, and he can tell you why. And he wants to win in the worst way, and he is determined. This is the guy who can walk into a locker room and take over with a mentality of, we're going to come together, we're going to win, we're going to be the best team. You've got to have a player with that drive. Now, I'm not one to compare players to current players, and I don't know that there's a current player in the NBA that's like Thomas Robinson, but that mentality that he has, it's a Kobe Bryant mentality. Where someone, if someone's not playing hard, he's going to go over them and say, hey, we're trying to win here. What are you doing? That's what Kobe Bryant does. That's why he's been an elite player for so long. And this is, you can't teach this or coach it. A guy either has that or doesn't.
Well, yes, he is confident, and he's got that swagger. But he also, Bill, he has that skill set. I mean, just dominant on the low block with his low post scoring and just a tremendous rebounder as well. And the fact that, you know, he's a product of Kansas, coming out of Bill Self's system, that's huge.
It is. It's a big school that's turned out great players.
They have.
They know how to prepare guys for the NBA. You're around guys who have been in the NBA. You've got, you know, it's a brotherhood, so to speak, with the guys that are currently in the league are going to want to bend his ear and tell him, you know, whatever he's willing to listen to. That's what I mean. This kid, if I have the number one pick, I know everybody's saying Anthony Davis, and maybe he is going to be the better player long term, but today, wow. I mean, I was really impressed with Thomas Robinson.
Okay, are you impressed with the Charlotte Bobcats' new head coach, Mike Dunlap? Well, I mean, what kind of impact can he make? They desperately need a renaissance after the Bobcats went 7-59 last year. I mean, I hate to say it, the worst winning percentage in NBA history. It was horrendous.
Well, when you have interviewed Nate McMillan, and he's a North Carolina guy, and then you hire Mike Dunlap, you know, I don't know. Hey, George Karl, the only thing I know about Mike, as the media, we don't get to talk to the assistant coaches very much. They just are not, it's not standard practice that they are made available to the media. They want the head coach to do all the talking so that there's one party line, so to speak. So I have not talked to Mike Dunlap. All I know is that George Karl speaks very highly of him, and I respect George immensely. So if he says this is a great thing for the Bobcats to get Mike Dunlap, then I think it's a great thing for the Bobcats. But my initial impression was, who?
I think a lot of
to rebuild your franchise in a city that already doesn't support you, and you've hired a no-name coach as your new head coach, when you could have hired a UNC guy who's a great pro coach that has a proven track record. Wow. Okay. I guess we'll see how that works out, because that's a real challenge in a city. Again, this coaching hire has to do with selling tickets too. Should have, could have, but didn't. It's going to be interesting. Again, George Karl, I love the guy. I respect him immensely. If he thinks this guy's good, I'm willing to have an open mind about it. But boy, this is not a call you can afford to get wrong when there were big name coaches, including a local guy, who were interviewing for the job.
Okay, another quick take on the Charlotte Bobcats. Had been rumored Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, another outstanding talent from Kentucky. You know, he averaged almost 12 points, almost 8 rebounds a game. Do you know anything about him? I mean, as far as with him hooking up with the Bobcats?
Yeah, you know, I've heard that. And I'll say the Bobcats have not reached out at all to Thomas Robinson's camp, which is really surprising. Now, they haven't requested a workout or anything, which either means, A, they already know they're going to take him, it doesn't matter, or B, they're trading the pick, which we've heard too. They've been offering the pick around for a veteran small forward. like Rudy Gay was one of the players they're interested in. But then they've also talked about, you know, the third option is maybe you're not going to draft Thomas Robinson. Maybe you're going to draft Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who, you know, hey, good player. But when you look at Charlotte, they have a lot of guys who are good. They don't have great players. And I think Michael Kidd-Gilchrist will be a good player. I don't think by any stretch of the imagination that he will be a great player. So does Charlotte draft another good player amongst their other good players? Or do you draft? There's no question. There's no question to me. You're either drafting Thomas Robinson or you're trading the pick, because you can get Michael Kidd-Gilchrist a couple picks down. If you take Kidd-Gilchrist with the number two pick, Wow. I can't see Rich. I can see Michael Jordan doing that, certainly. But Rich Cho is the new GM there. I can't see him doing that.
We are talking about the 2012 NBA draft. It is certainly deep. There is a ton of talent. We're dissecting the first round prospects, and we're picking the brain of Bill Ingram, the executive NBA editor with Hoops World, who does an outstanding job, provides some great work and insight with the NBA. Let's continue just quickly here. What are your thoughts about the Washington Wizards? Because they are a team that needs some serious improvement as well.
Yeah, now this is a team that we've been told authoritatively from two different very good sources that they love Kidd-Gilchrist, who obviously is very familiar with John Wall. They both went to Kentucky, and they're very good friends. Or that they're going to take Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is someone the Cleveland Cavaliers would absolutely love to have. So, you know, this is a question of, do you go with the friend or do you go with the better player? I think Bradley Beal might be the better player. But, you know, now the Wizards just made a deal where they got Emeka Okafor and Trevor Ariza, so now you have a small forward, you know, assuming he opts in, which seems likely. So now do you draft Michael Kidd-Gilchrist in the wake of acquiring Trevor Ariza, who's going to obviously start at small forward for your team? So, you know, that trade may have changed that a little bit, too. It might be even more likely that they go Beal in spite of the relationship that John Wall has with Kidd-Gilchrist.
Okay, Bill, we have hit on the Hornets, the Bobcats, and the Wizards. We had a transition. Let's get into the heart of Texas. Let's talk about the Dallas Mavericks, as they are, of course, in pursuit of another run at a championship. And they're looking at a number of different players. Of course, Dallas has the number 17 overall selection, as well as, what, number 55 in the second round as a result of the Lamar Odom trade. Give us your pulse. What have you heard, and who are some of those top prospects?
Well, I know they really like Austin Rivers. You know, what's not to like? Coach's son, Doc Rivers' son, obviously a Duke product, albeit for 1 year. But, you know, went to Duke. That's something to be said for that. Smart kid.
Absolutely.
And he has the belief that he's going to be a great NBA player. And he may be. But the fact is, at 17, I just don't see any way Austin Rivers is still on the board. Phoenix really likes him at 13. So, you know, and I've heard even higher than that, perhaps, depending on what happens with something like Jared Sollinger redshirt. Does that make him a lower first-round pick? Does Rivers then move up? There's all kinds of stuff that can happen. So, but under no circumstance do I see Austin Rivers on the board at 17 when Dallas picks. So they also like Arnett Moultrie, who will be, I suspect,
Mississippi State, yeah.
And, you know, we've been told they might even have interest in Terrence Jones, who is also, you know, Kentucky, one of the many Kentucky players in the mix. So looking at power forwards, you know, Moultrie's a power forward who also plays center, and Terrence Jones is a power forward. So, you know, if you're clearly looking at someone to kind of groom behind Dirk, if that's the case. But the Mavericks have so many needs, you can almost draft any position. They're really in a spot where they need to pick the best player versus the position they need, because they need so many different things. So it's kind of a good spot to be in some ways, but in another way, it's tough, too, because you do need so many positions and you have so many unanswered questions that, you know, who knows what this team's going to look like. And another question is whether Rick Carlisle will play whoever they draft, because that's not been, you know, Roddy Bobois has looked great at times, doesn't usually get to play. We have not seen Dominic Jones in much besides garbage time minutes. So, you know, some of the young players that have been on the team have not really gotten much of an opportunity to show what they can do. So, yeah, that's the other interesting thing about Dallas. You draft somebody, but is that person going to play, regardless of who it is? You just don't know.
Well, hey, what about the interior, though? You got a five player that can come in and provide some quality, some meaningful minutes. They're going to be looking at that. And who is available out there as far as when you're talking about the big guy? What about the Big East Defensive Player of the Year, the kid from Syracuse, Melo?
Yeah,
He's a seven-footer.
He is. He is a yes.
Got that wide body. He's square. He can rebound. He can play that 2-3 zone D.
Yes, he can. But basketball IQ has to speak to something. And from talking to there's something going on with that guy. there's something.
Why do you say that?
They've been hiding him from the media. He's represented by B.J. Armstrong. They've been hiding him from the media. And when we finally got to talk to him, we've been at several places where he was working out, and they just didn't want us anywhere near him. And, you know, Hoops World, we are generally there to promote you at this point. We're not there to be critical, and we're there to let you sell yourself as someone that the team should be looking at. So we're nothing but positive, and you're sheltering your player from that. that raises our eyebrows immediately. But then, too, talking to him in Chicago, you know, everybody's kind of raising their eyebrows going, what is this kid thinking about, if anything? And that, you know, I think if he sits in, you know, I'm sure he probably did in Chicago sit down with Rick Carlisle and Donnie, Mark wasn't there, but, you know, and talk to them. I don't think this is the kind of kid that Rick Carlisle is going to go, yeah, we should draft this guy.
Just a few more minutes this weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Bill Ingram, the executive NBA editor of Hoops World. And let's quickly pause. Bill, direct our listeners where they can go and check out all your great articles and insight.
Well, it's hoopsworld.com. We cover all 30 teams, 365. Well, certainly don't do too much on Christmas, but the rest of the time, every other day of the year, and especially during the summer when everybody else thinks it's the off season, let me assure you, it is not. We are covering. We're already ramping up draft coverage. We've been doing draft stuff for a couple months now. And we're getting ready for Summer League, where we'll have four guys in Orlando at the Orlando Summer League, and then we'll have our entire team deployed in waves in Vegas, where 24 teams are going to be taking part. So once these guys are drafted, and then they're getting ready to go show what they can do, we'll be there bringing you video, talking about who these guys are, talking to the general managers about why they drafted, who they drafted. And then, of course, free agency, which is, you know, the biggest thing of the year, is figuring out where teams like Dallas that have a lot of open roster spots, what they're going to do to fill some of those spots, and then talking about how they did once they've done some things. So whether you're a fan of Dallas or whether you're a fan of the Minnesota Timberwolves or Memphis Grizzlies or whatever your favorite team is, yes, we'll talk about the big names. We'll talk about LeBron and Kevin Durant and Kobe Bryant, but we're just as interested in what's happening in Portland and some of the smaller market teams too. So if you're a fan of the NBA, you're going to love Hoops World because we cover it all.
Bill, correct me if I'm wrong. I think I saw you on Christmas Day covering the Mavs, right?
I did not. My daughter's first Christmas, and I was not at the Mavs game.
Oh, yeah. We got to give a shout-out to Riley. She's turning one on Sunday, so a happy birthday to your baby girl. Quickly, my last question for you is, give us the pulse on Houston, because you do cover this team with regularity, and they have, what, two picks in the first round in next week's draft, correct?
They do. They have the 14 and the 16, and if they use either of those picks themselves, something will have gone dreadfully wrong. Because the last thing the Rockets need is another. This would be the third year in a row of picking 14, and we still don't really know what's up with the last two guys they picked at 14. Patrick Patterson has looked good a few times. He's looked lost a few times. Dirk certainly has no trouble torching him on a regular basis, and then last year they drafted Marcus Morris, whose brother had a great deal of success, and his twin brother had a great deal of success in Phoenix, was drafted ahead of him. But Marcus really is a small forward. Kevin McHale was trying to play him at power forward, where he did not play well at all. And so he spent much of the season in the D League. So you draft another guy at 14 and then another guy at 16, it's going to be two more guys that you don't know what they're going to be. They're going to need playing time. They're going to need development. And Rockets ownership is not interested in development and losing games and letting guys go out there and make mistakes and improve as a result. The Rockets management ownership wants to win now. And what the Rockets would like to do is trade both of these picks and anyone on the roster Orlando will take for Dwight Howard, or they would like to trade both picks and get up into the top 10, preferably the top 5. They need a star player. They need someone to build the team around. And they don't have that player now, and they don't have any luck getting them in free agency because the agents don't want to deal with Houston. So that's what they're looking to do. They're looking for the home run swing, and if they can use those two picks to get that swing, they will absolutely do it.
Well, there are some exciting possibilities out there, and this is a great time of year. Always love and enjoy talking about the NBA draft. Bill, continued success, and we look forward to catching up with you here real soon. Thank you so much.
Anytime. Always a pleasure.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. We will be right back.